Hello, everybody, and welcome to the new UK radio show. My name is Kevin Smith, and I have a few things to share with you. I thought I'd begin by musing over the trait of empathy. So, what exactly is this? It is the ability to put oneself in another person's shoes, to see and experience from another's perspective, to be able, in essence, to share another's attitude or emotional reaction to a situation that we are not experiencing ourselves. Okay, that might not be the standard definition, and perhaps a little skewed, but close enough, I would say. I like how David Icke explains it, and that is as the fail-safe mechanism for behaviour, especially the more extreme. If one is unable to put oneself in another's shoes and empathise with that person's predicament, especially if we are the cause of that individual's grief, as an example, there is now no limit to what one is capable of. The ability to see something from another's perspective in this empathic manner would be along the lines of viewing something from a different perspective or objective. And this would be in keeping with awareness. One indication of an individual who is completely disconnected from their real awareness and the real self, that is, with the is, would be their inability to view situations, experiences, and themselves objectively. An unaware person would be completely immersed in the experience of not only what was external to them, but immersed in the experience of being themselves. They would be utterly involved with their created little selves, their personal vehicles, and quite incapable of regarding themselves with objectivity. Being in such a state of decided, imposed confinement ensures a mighty disconnect from who they really are, real beings of real light in the real universes. Their vehicles are simply creations of the real individual, animated to experience the psych realms for the sole purpose of becoming more aware and ultimately superseding them. So, as the individual becomes aware of their vehicles, becomes aware they are in fact with the is and animating their vehicles, then it becomes apparent that everything these vehicles are, their traits and mannerisms, are not the individual, but simply a tool for determining what the is through experiencing what it is not. And the is not creation, and the five vehicles that have experiences within the matrix that stem from it. So naturally then, awareness will have an individual more so being objective. Instead of immersing oneself in everything and identifying with the vehicles, then the individual will begin to be more detached and indifferent from not only the vehicles and their emotional, mental makeup, but also the experiences they find themselves in. All experiences, too, are brought forth by decisions and choices we make, and so by our own creation, in effect, along with the creations of others that we must deal with. But every experience is another opportunity, another step to becoming more aware. Regardless of the nature of the experience, be it good, bad, or indifferent. And we can begin to see the patterns of what we set in motion through our thoughts, emotions, and ideas, and the resulting cause and effect consequences we then experience. But even with harsh experiences, if viewed objectively, the objective, detached view of the real you can take the sting out of them to a degree. And instead then of having harsh experiences and then adding more ideas to them, along the lines of perhaps how unfair and why me, etc., and then enhancing those ideas with the emotion to match, the rage or feelings of remorse, shame, and various other decided upon woes, we can cease the reactionary practiced responses, thoughts, and emotions we usually release, and instead simply observe, like witnessing a scene. For if we continue to react with emotions, then habitual situations, which are then coupled with the same emotional responses, become charged ideas and can be stored in our causal bodies. And so we end up with an entire causal body database of automatic responses to certain situations or triggers that we will carry with us, not only throughout this lifetime, but beyond it, and on, until we choose to break the pattern and choose a different reaction, or ideally no emotional reaction at all. And so, who knows what ingrained, self-programmed responses we have lurking in our causal bodies, waiting to be unleashed when the matching trigger situation is experienced. This is how Manchurian candidates work. Programmed responses to certain stimuli, with the entire program having been erased from the candidate due to trauma-based techniques. A little similar, then, to those emotional-charged reactions we store in our causal body. They become forgotten too, but remain and can be activated at any time. We are, in fact, experiencers. We are not the experience, for how can we be? If we are in the real universes with the is, and we are animating the five vehicles from there, it is akin to playing a computer game. The real you is the experiencer, watching the monitor and utilizing the mouse and the keyboard, which we can have as analogies for the five vehicles in creation. Or maybe, for a better picture, we are one of those computer game guys who has five computers running simultaneously, five characters in their five little worlds, but all animated and controlled by the real you. From here, we are hardly likely to get embroiled in the experience of the games. because we are viewing them objectively. Naturally, we care about the characters, but are hardly likely to have emotional outpourings if, say, one of our characters has an argument with another aggressive computer character. I'm not sure that's a great analogy, but it works for me. So, getting back to the whole idea of empathy, the ability to put oneself in another's shoes, it is a little like objectively viewing. With awareness comes the ability to see things from endless viewpoints, as essentially everything and everyone is. And thus, ultimately, this objective viewing must be possible from any position. And there would be a point where one could not, you might imagine, differentiate themselves from anything else. Unless the individual wanted to, for the purposes of sharing and giving others the opportunity to become more aware, such as the guides do. Imagine then what such a position would be like, being everything and everything being you, a position impossible to fathom, at least from the position of the personal self. Naturally, we lack the facility to fathom it, particularly if we lean to the mental vehicle for our fathoming. Even the imagination and intuition, far more advanced they may be, but still vehicles in creation, and lacking the perception to see the is, they being only the doorway to the real awareness. And so, the qualities of being with the is would be a being isness, sincerity and purity. And all other qualities that stem from our vehicles in creation, our ideas and emotions, would fall short of the state of being required to be with the true reality. For every emotion we activate in creation stems from our astral body, and as creation is a simulation, so must all emotions and states of being that are created in it. All ideas too, those created and decided upon, such as dignity and hope and faith, especially if they are associated with ideas such as religion and spirituality, as these are ideas created in creation, and if agreed to, will have us tap-lined and restricted too. So, personality traits must fall under the same limiting criteria. As we have created the bodies, we also create the personalities that go with them. Interestingly, excuse me, it has been determined that personality traits are in fact genetic in their origins. People are more inclined to be angry, aggressive, or apathetic according to which parts of their genetic database is switched on or off. Of course, we construct our created consciousness as we go through our lifetimes, and we tend to get attached to certain ways of being that seem to work for us. People become more so dictators or slavish in their personality as they carry on with what seems familiar, reinforce their created personality further by doing just that and likely cementing future lifetimes as being a slave or slave master, as an example, by projecting this way of being and agreeing upon it into their next incarnation. So it's interesting that genetics can also affect the personality traits of theoretically an entire species or subrace of peoples. This is why we can see certain races of peoples who are more inclined to be a certain way than others, perhaps more warlike or more subservient, more enthusiastic or apathetic. I used to consider, this is going back to my spiritual idea days, how is it then that we can be, quote unquote, spiritual and loving, as that was the thing to be back then, if genetics dictated our ability to be so? How can we seemingly be graded on our ability to be loving and spiritual, to have only loving thoughts, etc., if our very genetic makeup that we received from our lineage was coloured, as an example, with aggressive tendencies? Of course, we now know how the vehicles are just that, and anything that is affecting them in any way has nothing to do with our real awareness. And in fact, the notions of love and loving everything is just an idea in creation, because any emotion, regardless of what it is simulated and created from the astral vehicle, and thus it isn't real. Real love can only be found in the real universes, beyond the holographic training grounds that is creation. Anything in creation, then, is a faint echo of the real thing, and falls short. And so we can see that anything that is hindering our ability to express a certain trait due to genetics of the physical vehicle has nothing to do with our real awareness, and so will not hinder us in our journeys to the is. Going back then to where I started, David Icke speaking of empathy, he also contended that empathy had been deleted from the reptilians, that they were then a race more capable as a result of perpetrating the atrocities that they do, because they have no pangs of remorse that the trait of empathy would cause. He also speculated that the human race was having its empathy shut off too, for similar reasons, that humans would then not be so outraged and upset by that which is propagated by the controllers, the wars, the slaughters, and sufferings of millions the world over. This can certainly be seen, the dulling of people to the extent that a great apathy and disinterest in the plight of others is prevalent. Excuse me. Through an extensive desensitizing of people through what they are subjected to, and through the increasing level of violence and extreme visuals through entertainment. So, although people will react or not as a result of desensitizing them, and the possible flicking on and off of certain genetic traits to create the kind of slaves that will be apathetic and uncaring, this can only take effect if the individual is focused entirely on the physical astral levels of themselves. If awareness is connected to and continuously So, through focus and real intent, then the individual will supersede any limitations on the physical vehicle, and they then become irrelevant, such as the health of the body. Yes, maintenance is important, but it has nothing to do with real awareness. And so, any genetic traits an individual has assumed due to having a life this time around in a certain bloodline and temporarily inheriting these traits for next time, they will be inserted in a different bloodline. This has nothing to do then with their real awareness either. So yes, it's conceivable that the reptilians have, through their collective, agreed, constructed consciousnesses over many thousands of years and lifetimes, through their collective choices and decisions, resulted in physical reptilian vehicles where the physical genetic trait of empathy has been deleted. So, they are more inclined to take over creation and do what they do. It would follow then that an individual who decides upon being tyrannical begins to go along that path of creating their consciousness in that way would sooner or later align themselves with a species that resembled such a state of being. A person going down the path of evil intents and being would most likely project into a future and be a part of a species where they are collectively this way. The reptilians, with their ability to empathize, switched off, as an example, and vice versa. A reptilian who begins to align themselves and decide upon a different way of being that is no longer in alignment with the reptilian species may well find themselves becoming a human in the next lifetime, as an example. It is so that the human is considered, as a species, an evolutionary step above the reptilians in regard to awareness potential, and so it follows that as an individual chooses ways of being more in keeping with, or at least creational echoes of the qualities of those required to be with the is, then that individual will go through the various species to a species that is collectively more likely to have the awareness to begin the process of recognizing the is. Generally, a reptilian would have little interest in this, so baroque their decided way of being that an individual of this nature would find themselves as a reptilian in a more limited expression of experience, a position and species in keeping with what they have decided for themselves. And so, in a kind of long and rambling way, I get to the point that empathy, or lack of it, would be an issue in regards to how a species conducts themselves and interacts with others, but only if that species or any individual within it was locked entirely into their personal little self, with no connection to their real awareness, and thus at the mercy of the collective agreed upon genetic drawbacks. With real awareness, we would supersede the restriction of our vehicles by viewing everything objectively as just the experiences that they are. And we'd also ensure we are not dragged into the emotional baiting of what is occurring in our collective experiences also. Because anything emotional, and we become the effects of it and restrict ourselves. And the controllers know this, at least those in the know, and certainly the Callum God, from where this all stems from. He will delight in all the emotional reaction to the daily wars and injustices, as the slaves are simply digging themselves in deeper by emotionally reacting to a world they subconsciously agree to. So in a way, is lack of empathy a burden? If by having empathy we react with a far greater degree of outrage, anxiety, and heartache, then this is even more so overstimulation of the emotional astral vehicle, with far greater than cause and effect consequences. Far more emotionally charged ideas that get locked in our causal bodies to result in similar extreme reactions to the same stimuli in future lifetimes. Then having empathy deleted or absent might in fact be preferable. This would ideally need to be coupled with awareness, or the lack of empathy would result in a far greater likelihood of committing heinous acts. Because through awareness, we see people being to being, and understand the cause and effect nature of creation. And this knowledge would act as regulators of our behaviour, more so than a physical genetic trait of empathy. For aware individuals would surely not choose to act murderously, knowing the cause and effect future lifetimes they would be subjecting themselves to. And with more awareness, we view everything here, regardless of how evil, with detachment and disinterest, or we become the effects of the emotional responses we choose to add to the experience. After all, using the sun as the example, does it get emotionally involved in what it has witnessed for the span of time it has been shining over the atrocities occurring on the planet Earth? It may sound somewhat harsh a state to be in, but everything here is a simulation, and everybody has chosen through their decisions the position and circumstances they find themselves in, what they have agreed to, etc. And besides, sometimes the harder the situation, the more valuable it is as an experience and an incentive to want to position ourselves better and leave creation behind. And with real awareness, everyone can supersede cause and effect creation and move beyond whatever position they have found themselves in. Pardon me. For no, we can't save the world. We can't save anyone, in fact. Everyone must save themselves by choosing and deciding to become more aware, and eventually recognizing the real universes and the is. For if we imposed upon situations and tyrants, we are violating their free will, and everyone has the right to choose whatever they will. And getting drawn into the battle, even if it is a fight against evil, We become the effects of whichever side we choose, good or evil. It is the dualistic nature of creation, and we become the effects of it. As a final note, I once had a dream where I was granted an objective view. Some of our experiences on the real side run along these lines. Being in the skin of another species for the purpose of seeing from their perspective. So when I was saying how when we are with the is, we would be everything simultaneously, one can imagine viewing from every position at the same time. But in the meantime, we have these experiences to where we view from the perspective of an assortment of creatures and individuals. For every objective view helps us to become more aware, to see how with different species they have different agreed and decided upon ideas that they incorporate into their personal selves, and how they are different from species to species. So as an individual, as you are afforded these various objective views, you have the impression of not only wearing the different vehicles, but wearing the personality and ideas, attachments, both with the individual and its species collectively. It impresses upon you how these are just ideas added to what we are, that is, a real being of light, and so, again, a comparison to what the is not, to figure out what it is. So yes, I had a view in this dream as a reptilian, and in that form I took on temporarily the traits of said reptilian and that of its species. The species seem to have a lot of innate information, or a reptilian's particular brand of programmed indoctrination locked into every reptilian's causal body. It was along the lines of religion. It had that kind of restrictive flavour of limitation about it, and it was accessible through my mental vehicle, ingrained into myself, as I said, through the causal, with knowledge even of the Callum God. So it was a fascinating view for awareness purposes from the vehicle of a reptilian, and indeed, as I understand it, many reptilians are getting on board with the new presentation too. And as they like to lurk on the astral and move amongst us unseen on the physical in that manner, you may have a reptilian listening right beside you while you are on a new presentation Skype, as an example, or especially if you sing the new you song. Sandy Staling can see these reptilians on the physical, and reports that this is so. Rebazar even brings some reptilians into Sandy's presence for this very purpose, so they may have the opportunity also to become more aware. Okay, here is a lighter subject to touch upon, well, kind of. I heard about this the other day on a radio show. It was all about ice cream. What's this, I hear you cry? What has ice cream got to do with anything? Other than be heavily marketed as something good and generally associated with exotic females in the peak of physical perfection, eating it on the adverts. Naturally, then, the literal personal self will be taken on board with the association and the link it makes between ice cream and supermodels, and the catchy advertisements and colourful, enticing imagery that make ice creams seem otherworldly. The food of the gods, it would seem, for one cannot surely reach the heights of attractiveness and success without eating ice cream, according to these adverts and commercials. Not to mention the steady and continued bombardment of subliminals that filter into our subconsciousnesses from the television, reinforcing the merits of such illness-inducing foodstuffs. The subliminals work most effectively if they enter our minds unhindered by conscious consideration of them. In other words, they must be within a range of hearing that although we will pick up on it on a level, as everything is based on a frequency, and so it will affect us in some way or another, we will not consciously be able to hear them. Things of a visual nature, too, can bypass our conscious consideration of them, if cunningly and sneakily inserted between other imagery, in such a fleeting way as to be virtually, if not completely, undetected. If I remember, this was proven beyond a doubt, that all the major food companies employed this brand of sneaky, under-the-consciousness threshold advertising, and indeed many companies were successfully sued as a result. I understand entire chains of cinemas were taken to task for indulging in this kind of persuasive manipulation. It's proven also how major supermarkets carry hidden, subliminal, food-buying encouraging frequencies blended in with the Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi that is also prevalent in virtually every public space of shopping convenience. So, you have in fact the double whammy of cancer, body-destroying microwave radiation in tandem with subliminal encouragement to further purchase foodstuffs. That despite what the supermodels, superphysical vehicles on the adverts suggest, will cause such delights as diabetes and so on. And we go back to the nature of creation, the psych realms, the simulation set up in such a way by the All Is, that everything in creation is cause and effect. So eating copious quantities of ice cream will cause less than favourable distortions to your holographic electromagnetic energy field that is your vehicle, and the effects then will be illnesses. And with the extreme taste enhancers we find embedded in most of the foods we put in our mouths, we are slowly conditioned to seek sustenance on the basis of its taste, rather than the nutritional value of it. This makes no sense, but makes sense to the physical personal self, who loves indulgences, thrills, and taste overloads, and then is puzzled as to why it can't breathe anymore, or is rendered unable to operate effectively due to sickness. For yes, too, the emotional astral body loves its thrills. It seeks emotional stimulation, for this is its nature. And so, Like any thrill, addiction to food is an easy trap for the emotional body to fall into. And thus, ice creams and things of this nature will once again assist in keeping us emotionally stimulated, add to the focus most people already have, which is firmly locked on the physical, astral life levels only, and ensure, more so, we are the effects of what we are constantly setting in motion. We can then add taste-enhanced foods to the list of ideas and thrills in creation that will keep us chasing them to the ends of our lifetimes here and into future lifetimes also. And all this is also ingraining itself in our causal bodies and charged with the emotion we incorporate and add to it. Our subconscious memory vehicles will be full to bursting with agreed-upon nonsense that keeps us restricted, all the emotionally charged ideas. It's a wonder where people who overly focus on food might be projecting to, in terms of future lifetimes. If, as we know, we create our future lifetimes and vehicles based on what we are focusing on and projecting now, then those whose lives revolve around food, those that live to eat rather than eat to live, might be constructing a dimension or world out there of a very strange nature indeed. Just as how all the obsessed computer gamers are and have created a world or dimension where the elements of their games are in effect, as I have seen on the real side in my dreams. Worlds right now that are just like a computer game, people running around, killing monsters, and gleaning levels and trinkets for their monster-slaying deeds. It sounds incredible, but imagine the combined creative force of millions, if not billions, of computer game fanatics. And they surely must number in these quantities, focusing and living for the adventure fantasy games they play. They unknowingly are creating an actual lifetime that will run along the lines of the computer games they delight in. Maybe they will even like such worlds as these. But surely it's far more enjoyable to be playing the game without having to actually suffer having your brains bashed in by an orc, or being roasted alive by a dragon. So maybe when they find themselves in a world and future lifetime of this type, it won't be quite so thrilling. But then they will be unaware how they got there. Another unconscious lifetime, but an experience nonetheless, from which awareness can be gleaned in a rather brain-bashing, dragon-roasting way. Maybe in future lifetimes beyond that, if they ever return to a world where their brains are safe from orcs, the causal vehicle memory of that very harsh lifetime will be triggered if they ever encounter a computer game of this type again. And computer games would then seem abhorrent to them. They won't know why, and assuming such games will exist in future lifetimes, or anything will exist for that matter, for how much time do we have? with the agreed-upon demise and implosion of creation. So regardless of their awareness or lack of it, you can see how the potential experience of going through an actual lifetime in a virtual computer game world may well rid them of the want to become addicted to such games again in future lifetimes beyond that. It's a process of awakening through lifetimes of experiencing everything, and slowly but surely we build a subconscious catalogue of ideas and things we have caused, and the effects, if not favourable, will result, one would imagine, in the individual less inclined to attach themselves to thrills of this nature. Less likely, I say, as people do fall into patterns of behaviour and routines with their created consciousnesses. But experiences of a nature such as described would surely help steer us clear of repeating at least the more extreme decisions and choices. So, as I say, if computer addicts are building their own computer worlds, then what of those addicted and completely focused on other things? What are they collectively building? Especially a focus of attention which captures the collective focus of vast swathes of people. Imagine all the football fanatics. They might wind up living on a giant football, or something along those lines. It sounds fanciful, but this is very real. We create individually our futures, and collectively, through focus, entire worlds and dimensions, where the particulars of the focus will be experienced. As I said on a previous show, being in a computer game world, one would be in a computer game within a computer game, as this creation is all a holographic computer simulation after all. Going back briefly to mind control through subliminals, I remember scientists, those obviously not working on behalf of the reptilians, who had discovered the sheer volume of messages inserted in and through every advert on the television. Beneath the threshold of our hearing, or a visual incorporated so swiftly that although all visual information goes in, if it is too fast to see or lost amongst a mass of other imagery, we consciously do not process it, and straight into the subconscious it will go. That's how symbols and such work. If their meaning is unknown, we will overlook them, but we will still incorporate them into our subconscious, and whatever they represent will be affecting us too. So the world is awash with these Illuminati satanic reptilian symbols for the purpose ultimately, as everything in creation is pretty much designed this way to keep us in creation and limited. It's all about control. Anyway, these scientists found all kinds of words and visuals and below the hearing threshold of a very derogatory and indeed controlling nature, such words as obey, you are a slave, you are worthless, etc., etc. And so people will be taking these subliminals into their subconsciousnesses and affected accordingly. Of course, real awareness supersedes everything that can be thrown at us on the creational life levels. Yes, it affects the vehicles we are experiencing creation with. And yes, we can and do get subconsciously programmed at a life level beyond the physical too, directly into our causal bodies. But a connection to the real universes and the is with the new sound, the new you, will hold us in good stead. All these silly and old agreed upon ideas, subconscious and often deeply rooted agreements and attachments will be unveiled. Like going into another room in your house, checking out the books there and discarding old books that serve no purpose other than causing clutter. And like these books, sure, keep some by way of reference, but no need to carry them around with you. Take a peek at some of the books for reference purposes, but then put them back when you are finished. No need to be attached to them and the effects of them. For carrying and clinging onto these old references will do nothing but keep you focused and aligned to what they are referencing. And generally that is creation. They are experiences, nothing more. They are not realities. The father of advertising was in fact an individual called Edward Bernays, an American-born public relations consultant. Well, that was his official title, but effectively, it was his genius, or more so, his insidious, reptilian, bought-off claim to infamy that began, at least in modern times, the means by which products were sold more effectively. Through cunning imagery, association, as in associating a product with glamour, money and prestige, and clever stick-in-the-mind catchphrases. Finger-licking good is one example of a catchphrase coined by this man. And the clever advertisements which promoted smoking, associating smoking with being a real man, a man of distinction, etc. At one time, bacon was considered to be the most untouched, undesirable meat, eaten only as a last resort if all other alternatives were unavailable. But through advertisement, bacon would become not only accepted, but a stable part of the English breakfast, and take its place amongst all the other meats consumed. Honestly, there's little they cannot promote when they utilise association, and these days it is more so through collectivism. For more now than ever before, the world being such a small place through technology, a person's status and approval rating in the eyes of others is essential for psychological well-being. So, advertise a product as being an essential ingredient to ensure one's coolness and thus approval from others, and you can get people to eat or wear whatever you want. So, getting back to where I began, in a roundabout, all over the countryside sort of way, they are introducing new ice creams that are made from churned up maggots. Yes, in keeping with the drive to reduce carbon footprints and the impact on the environment through human-made climate change activities. Dairy and meat consumption must now be reduced drastically. Yes, apparently, this is now so. The world is polluted and self-destructing at an alarming rate, that is a given, but climate change is a separate issue, and one that has no bearing on the destruction of the planet. But dare suggest this, and one may be branded a climate denier. Horror of horrors! Time tied under the bed, methinks. But in fact, laws are in the pipeline that will eventually see people locked in mental institutions for being of a conspiratorial nature and in opposition to such things as vaccinations, climate change, etc., etc. For these are now considered by our controllers to be indications of psychosis and must be treated accordingly. In fact, people are being taken now and assessed psychologically for daring to suggest vaccinations are harmful. This will continue to escalate until the point where nothing other than what the controllers deem speakable may be uttered, or incarceration and removal from the population will be required, lest the crazy conspirators pollute the healthy minds of the stable, vaccine-taking, fluoride-drinking, ice-cream-eating public. Climate change is just that, a change in the climate, incurred by cycles of the sun. Originally, it was called global warming, but when it was discovered this wasn't the case, that the world was not, in fact, warming, it had to be altered to climate change, which on the surface of it means nothing other than a change in the climate. All this is being orchestrated for the purposes of control of every aspect of our lives, from our movements, where we live, what we can eat, pretty much everything you can imagine. Children are being brainwashed in this regard too, through school, and are accepting the climate change myth, to the point where you see them protesting and demanding further shackles for their and everyone else's enslavement. And now they are, in fact, not only demonising the sun, with the agenda then to ultimately secure agreement to remove its harmful presence as they see it, but also they are demonising carbon dioxide. Apparently, the essential element that is required for all life to survive, what we in fact breathe out is carbon dioxide that the plants breathe in, must now be reduced. And eventually there must be zero carbon. In other words, they are practically telling you of their schemes to robotize everything, kill everything living, in order to save the planet from essential elements and sunlight that has maintained life on this rock for millions of years. So, about that ice cream, the maggot ice cream. The latest drive is, as I said, to reduce meat and dairy consumption, and they intend to do this through alternative foodstuffs. One example being that they have discovered a viable means of making ice cream that discludes the need for cows, which is among the things they now cite as unsustainable in our fast approaching and more controlled dystopian world. They are grinding up maggots, and this will be the dairy alternative of the future, along with alternative lab-grown meats, full of all kinds of dubious nasties, I have no doubt. And interesting too is all the game shows where individuals must engage in eating bugs and things of this nature. Celebrities in the jungle, celebrities surviving here and there and wherever else, made to eat insects for survival and challenges. Getting people, in fact, used to the idea of eating insects and things that one normally wouldn't even consider eating other than for survival, life and death purposes. They are making it acceptable and normal. And if the celebrities are doing it, it must be safe, right? So, I look forward to my maggot ice cream in the future, which will probably follow my maggot and chips for dinner. I dread to think what they might do with the chips. I wonder if our genetically modified potatoes are safe. Do you know McDonald's chips have 17 ingredients in them? I thought chips generally consisted of the single ingredient of potato, but there you go. So, excuse me. One last thing on ice creams. I was saying to Dwayne how, in a dream, I saw the controllers make use of the reference of the new in a shampoo commercial. It was new shampoo, or something along those lines. Dwayne would say that the controllers always seek to hijack the references that he uses for the is, and attach ideas and distortions to them, and drag them into the physical and astral levels. Many a time has Dwayne had to decide new words and terminology for this very reason. The is, I-S, becoming the all is with three L's and three S's, due to the reptilians revealing a terrorist cell as being ISIS, as an example. You can use the references for a time, but soon they become too distorted, and the property of the reference grabbing reptoids, and so updates are needed. I remember once Eric Oak asked on a Skype about if the new you might ever change in the future too, and it's conceivable. After all, Amen, Om, Aum, and more recently the Hue, had to be abandoned, no longer backed by the guides and the is, because of it being dragged into the doldrums of the reptilians, and now associated with and referencing creation, with creation dragging ideas hanging from them. Unless an idea references the is, and the intent of the individual presenting the reference is pure and with the is, and it's for the benefit of people's awareness, then it references creation and is restricting, limited to the psych realms, and everyone gets taplined through agreement to it. Anyway, ice creams. Yes, I saw they are now selling a new brand of ice creams at the Cabal slave pits that I work in, which is a store which is predominantly a peddler of poisons and death. The ice cream there now is called New UI Ice Cream. So, a little along the lines of my new shampoo dream. They are using the word new with food products, probably knowingly, in an attempt to steal and distort the reference, the connection to the all is. So, potentially, should this persist, maybe Dwayne may have to choose a new sound that makes the connection to the true reality life is. As the new man, Dwayne decides the terminology, but must have the backing of the guides and the all is, and this is how it works. Dwayne must always stay steps ahead of the reference thieving controllers. In a way, it isn't really stealing. They are just references, and anybody can make use of them however way they wish. But nevertheless, if the intention of the reference users isn't aligned with the is and the whole of life, then the reference can become tainted and ultimately will need replacing, and so the new may go the way of the Om, Amen, Om and the Hu. We will have to see. And the final part I would like to speak about is what I have called the in-betweeny state. As we know, we generally have two states of being. That of being awake on the physical life level and being asleep beyond it. In fact, we are everywhere simultaneously throughout all the five levels of creation, with our created five vehicles and into the real universes with our real selves, that is with the is. According to the extent to which we have connected with the real self, taken the time to recognize our real awareness and the is, and earn the way, dictates then what is potentially available for us by way of experience and position. So sleep will open up this arena of unlimited experience potential and all the myriad life levels, dimensions and worlds that lie beyond the physical life level. There is a third area too, a place seemingly between physical waking reality and the real side, that straddles, bridges the two, a grey area, if you will. Everything is experience. And experience serves us the opportunity to become more aware. If we can see this and keep the personal little self out of the equation as much as possible. Because, yes, the little self is along for the ride wherever we go, until we drop the created personal level and all the vehicles that encompass it. It's rather like an irritating little version of us, always accompanying the real being of light and sound, which is what we are now, and always trying to interject itself into every situation and convolute the valuable experiences by placing filters of emotion, ideas before it, and drawing on weary old references, current and causal. Whereas we ought be, as best we are able, with the literal personal self tugging at our arm for attention, regard each and every experience objectively, and perceive what life is showing us, what it is that is behind what we are being shown. And so this third area, it is a place between waking and sleeping. And just like the physical and the real side, it is just as invaluable a source of experience for our process. So what is this area of which I speak? Excuse me, my voice is failing on me here. It is a place we all experience if we allow ourselves the opportunity, a place astral projectors and indeed lucid dreamers, of which I was a practitioner, will be aware of. It's a state of being where you are not quite asleep, but not quite awake, an in-betweeny state. Generally, we lay our heads and we go to sleep as quickly as we are able, and on awaking, we launch out of bed just as swiftly. The dogs must be fed. It's time for breakfast. It's time to switch on the television, which isn't called television programming for nothing. But what if we didn't seek out our cornflakes immediately or be off on the real side the instant we are settled? Instead, as we find the waves of sleep or the clarity of physical reality tugging on our attention, we might instead resist, maintain a medium between sleep and wakefulness, and ensure we in fact do neither. Astral projectors will consider this a golden place, for from this state, such out-of-body excursions are more likely to occur, and lucid dreams easier to stimulate. The best time is in fact when we have just awakened, rather than trying to stay awake from a long day of agitation, chemtrails and Wi-Fi bathing. If we have not had all the sleep we require, there is little chance to stay in this between state, so far better to get all the sleep we require. After we first awake, and as we drift back into the physical, always we can get a few more hours if we remain laying there and we slip back under. But at this point, it is far easier to resist returning to the dream, as we have got our full quota of sleep, but at the same time resist waking fully, and thus we are in this between state. On waking, we have not engaged our minds or emotions, or start ticking off a mental checklist of all we must do today. So resist the urge to do this. Resist slipping back into sleep. Deny yourself the option of waking fully. Keep the emotional and mental body quiet, which is very easy to do, having not been stimulating it all day as we would have been doing prior to sleep, and thus stay in this in-between state. You will find here that you are not fully in the physical. You are not totally focused on it, and only able to... You will find here that you are not fully in the physical. You are not totally focused on it, and only able to perceive with your physical senses. Your perceptions are now expanded. The range of what you can perceive is stretched beyond just the physical, and you will see all manner of strange phenomena. Again, it's imperative that you don't get too involved with the phenomena, regardless of how odd it appears. For if you try and activate your literal self, chuck in some emotional reactions, you will snap back into the physical completely, and the experience will be lost. And some of the things you may see here are so wacky you may be unable to help but launch yourself out of bed. Everyone probably has experienced things of this nature, but likely briefly, as they won't remain in the in-between for long, and they will put it down to overspill from their dreams. But this physical level is the passing dream, and what is behind it is the real side, what you access in your dream state. So the phenomena you encounter in the in-between is more real than what you see here on the physical. So what can you experience here? There is no limit to what you may perceive. I have, in this in-between place, seen all manner of creatures, aliens and beings. And so, yes, it's apparent they are there, but had I not been in this state, I would have been unaware of them. I had a little grey alien standing in my doorway observing me. I imagine he intended to remain unseen, or maybe not. Perhaps he took the opportunity to manifest at a point where I was in the in-between. I was a little startled at first, but maintained the state and invited him to come in and converse. He didn't take me up on this offer, so perhaps then he wasn't expecting to be perceived. A curious regular visitor into my midst, when in this state, seems to be a selection of varying size and colour of arachnid. Why spiders in particular, I can't say, but they float back and forth, some very much spiders, some close approximations, some very loosely resembling the species as to only just fit the category. Spiders feature heavily in my dreams on the real side, most of which seem to be demonstrations of malignancy, their webs and webbing representing taplines. For any idea we agree to, we become taplined by. And on the physical, we can't see the tap lines as they are inserted. But on the real side, the tap lines manifest as anything from snakes to tentacles, and so these are more obvious, but also vines, and in my case, generally webbing. As vines, tentacles and webbing snare and trap you, just as taplines do. And so, in my between state, I can see spiders once again. Seems they are what I will encounter just prior to a tapline. It may be different for other people. In fact, once, a writhing mass of tendrils burst from my wardrobe and assailed me while in the in-between state. I fought them off as best as I was able, and they retreated, and I saw a padlock appear on the wardrobe. So, as you can see, you can have a chance to witness those pesky early morning taplines, assuming you've agreed to something that allows their insertion, for the dark forces are sneaky, and will bait you into agreeing through all manner of underhand and sly methods. As an aside, once I had a dream where I saw these hideous spiders setting up huge web kingdoms in people's gardens with ill intents in their spidery brains, and I took it upon myself to dismantle their nests. Other things I see are peculiar blobs floating about, like little amorphous masses of matter. I have impressions that these are not very beneficial either. In fact, many of them blob toward me directly and try and latch themselves onto my face. One impression I had strongly was a particular gruesome and black one that would, if it attached to me, cause cancer. And it made a beeline, or a blob line, for my face. But I dispatched it immediately. My real self always knows what to do, and so when you are in this in-between state, when you are not accessing the mental and emotional vehicles, then you are in fact connecting with your real awareness, with the irritating personal self far more readily kept at bay. And thus, in this state of awareness, you handle yourself far better and can deal with all these tap lines, spiders, strange blobs, and whatever else crawls, slithers, or stomps into your midst. So yes, as I said, it is another valuable source of experience for your awareness, and coupled with the fact that while in this state, you are practicing being aware and are recognizing and perceiving beyond the physical level. Practicing this recognition is important, and so why not take the time, if you have it, to do just this? And also, you can be reassured by how adept you are at dealing with adverse situations, and your little self will trust more so that this will be so, and less inclined to stick its literal awe in. Sometimes, on awakening, you get bleed-overs from the real-side dreams that you have had. Elements and individuals you were interacting with can follow you through. I've had unpleasant individuals manifest from my dreams into my room that, had I not been in this in-between state and maintained it, I would not have seen. And who knows what they would be doing? For yes, we take abuse on the real side and can have the effects on the physical. We can be bruised and battered as these entities and dodgy individuals inflict harm, and we can bear the brunt of their attacks on waking. Generally, because most of creation will have disdain for those trying to leave it and undermine the little fantasy lives they have decided for themselves. Because everything is as it is due to the collective created a consciousness of all the individuals in it, agreeing and deciding that it is so, and most have created little lives that they delight in and cling to, and certainly don't want their very limited apple cart with its selection of bruised old maggoty apples upset. Especially the controllers, who despise us even more, as they surely don't want us leaving the psych realms and encouraging others to do the same. On one occasion, a creepy individual who had been bothering me on the real side, who had fled from laser-firing spaceships that came to my assistance, evidently was not content to just creep off from whence he came. He followed me onto the physical. I perceived him in my in-between state, and he bound me to the bed as though by invisible shackles. Have you ever had sleep paralysis? The know-it-all scientists will tell you you've woken up too early and your muscles are still immobilized to prevent you acting out your dreams. And although this may account for some situations of paralysis, I suggest not all. And had I not been in a place where I could perceive this person, I would not realise my immobilisation stemmed from him. Again, my real self knew what to do. The new you song was on my lips. It not only released me from my bindings, but dispelled the malignant individual who caused them. So always have the new you song on standby. It deals with far more situations than you might realise. And you don't need to think about if you need to sing it, if you keep your created personal self aside. Your real self knows when and if to utilise the connection to the all is that the new song is. Also, all cancers begin on the astral level. If we are agreeing with something that results in a tap line, and the source of the tap lines are those dastardly reptilians, then they siphon off and drain your energy through the tap lines, and ultimately this translates as disease and cancers on the physical level. All the Ekankar members who are still agreeing to the limited position of the now infected and distorted corporation are heavily taplined through the reptilians, and many are beginning, and surely will, experience the effects of what they have decided for themselves, that of cancers. As I said, I saw a potential cancer-inducing situation, perceived as strange blobs, floating towards me. This may not be how all cancers will be perceived, but certainly some varieties it would appear. It works the other way around too. As much as dream imagery follows us in from the real side, at times, we can more readily activate dreams from this place of being between. We utilise the imagination. We can imagine something, and instead of it being just in our minds then, we now may actually perceive it from this place of being in between. And also, the imagination is a far better tool to use than the mental or emotional body. It is the gateway to the real universes. What I have found is, if I focus strongly on whatever I see in this state, then the environment it is in starts to open up around it. My room will fade away, and I am on the real side with said object of attention, and I am also fully aware. I am now lucid. Effective, then, a way to trigger lucid dreams. But with dreams being more real than the physical, in fact, we can say we have simply induced a state of awareness on the real side. Depending on the way we use our imagination affects greatly the experience we may activate or place we may find ourselves in. I've recently found that if I align myself more so with references to the is, I imagine some of the images or terminology that the new presentation and Dwayne provides. This is more likely to stimulate experiences far higher in the life levels and of a far more expansive nature launched from this in-between state. We begin to do this naturally anyway. The more aware we become, the more this awareness and presence of being manifests in our dream environments. We can now pay more attention and learn more effectively from the demonstrations and experiences being provided by the guides. astral projections can be launched the same way, and I have successfully utilized this in-between state for both lucid dreams and astral projections. But nowadays, I don't seek either, because they were based on my desire for thrills, so an overstimulation of my emotional body, which limits then my connection to my real awareness. But as you can imagine, lucid dreams and out-of-body excursions occasionally will occur, but I approach them from a place of indifference, detachment, objective viewing from a state, as much as I am able, of real awareness, and glean then the experiences I need to better become more aware. Well, that ends the New You UK show for this week. My voice just about held out. I was struggling a little towards the end, but I hope you found it at least interesting and a little thought or awareness provoking. So I will finish with the New You song. New You, You, You. And bid you all farewell and look forward to speaking with you next time.